call on his name. Amen. We do thank God for the leadership and the worship of these men today. Amen. As we prepare for May, our Women's Day annual, we're grateful that our sisterhood is not alone, that they are comforted and kept by good men. We recognize our own Sister Janice Bryan and her absence to the deacons, officers, trustees, all who are present. We do realize this is the Sunday after Easter. Amen. We are so grateful that the Lord has allowed us to come this way, because it was not promised to us, nor was it owed to us, but by his grace, he has allowed us to come together one more time. We do want to give a shout out to those who are celebrating anniversaries this month or this week. Amen. Amen. Let's show them some love. Amen. They made it a year or 6 years, but by the grace of God. And we also want to thank those, hopefully I won't forget, I want to thank those who was with us over at St. James on yesterday to celebrate the retirement of Pastor Sylvester Chase. Ebenezer represented and let the world know that he was our friend. He is our friend. And so we noticed those that was in, not only in the choir, but those that were also in the pews. In times like this, it's important to have good friends. And if you want to have friends, the scripture says you have to show yourself friendly. And so we are grateful for that representation. If you would, we would like to call your attention to a familiar passage that has been read, Psalm 100. I know it's a little lingering from the sesquicentennial. It was the theme from the sesquicentennial. And since I practice saying that sesquicentennial, I try to use it in my vocabulary as often as I can. But from that psalm, there's one verse I would like to lift up today, and that is the fourth verse. By the inspiration of God, these words are recorded. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. We read into your hearing Psalms 100, verse 4. We ask that there be a blessing to the reading and hearing of God's word. We simply want to talk about this morning, Thanksgiving in April. Thanksgiving in April. We have so much to thank God for that I just couldn't wait until November. I didn't want to wait till the turkey was in the oven, and I didn't want to have to wait until I have to deal with another disappointing Dallas loss. I didn't want to have to wait until the Texas and A&M game. I think it's important that we have Thanksgiving right now. You know, some people think that Thanksgiving is a federal holiday, that somehow that it can be taken away from us. You know, there are some people that if they came out and said that they would not be celebrating Thanksgiving, you know, there are some people that would stop celebrating it themselves. But Thanksgiving is not a day. Thanksgiving is not a holiday. Thanksgiving is a way of life. It is the way that God wants his people to live their lives. I saw a picture of a man. He was two men were standing out in the rain. One of them had an umbrella and the other one didn't. And the rain was coming down on their head. And the man without an umbrella looked over at the man with the umbrella and said, "Man, that umbrella is doing you no good. It's not stopping the rain." And the man with the umbrella said, "I'm not trying to stop the rain. I'm just trying to stop the rain from getting on my head." You see, the Lord covers us so that the rain don't get on our heads. When we have the Lord is our refuge. It won't stop the storms. It won't stop the trouble. It won't stop the heartache. It won't stop the pain. But in the midst of it, we have an umbrella. He is our refuge. So even in the midst of our trouble, even in the midst of our trial, the people of God ought to be a people who is able to give thanks in all circumstances, in all situations. I don't have to wait till the first to give thanks. I can give thanks on the 30th. I don't have to wait till paycheck hits. I can give thanks even when the bills are due. We have to be a people who are able to give thanks. So this is why I wanted to call Thanksgiving in April. So we can remind ourselves that even in right now, we can give God thanks. Psalms 100 is an exhortation to praise. It's called a psalm of thanksgiving. It teaches us to lay everything aside that hinders us and make a joyful noise unto the Lord. God doesn't care if we sing or squeal, as long as we open our mouths and give him praise with a cheerful and glad heart. What God is concerned with is our attitude, the attitudes of our hearts, especially when we come to him. He wants us to serve him with gladness, no manipulation, no angles, no obligation. He wants volunteer lovers who chooses him. Here in verse 4, he says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving." It suggests to us that before we enter, we must first do some thanks thinking. Before we enter, we have to first do some thanks thinking. Simply, you have to think about it before you get here. I know it's too late for you today, but maybe you can save this for next week. I know it's too late. You're already here now, but the scripture says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving." You ought to have in your possession. I don't care about your money. I don't care about your credit card. I don't care about your clothes, your hat. I don't care about your tie or your shoes. One possession you must have is thanksgiving. When you enter into his gates, you enter with thanksgiving. So before you enter, you have to do some thanks thinking. You have to think about what the Lord has done for you. You have to think about the goodness of the Lord. In this text, the gates to the city, unlike most worship facilities now, we think of them as buildings, single buildings. But the temple was a temple space. It was wide open. It was huge. And there were literally 12 gates that one could enter. One could enter two from the east, two from the west, two from the north, and two from the south. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. But it was 12 gates. It was 12 gates to the city that you could enter. And each of these gates had significance. There would be different groups that would enter through different gates, but whatever you came from, whichever angle you come from, whatever burden you come with, he says when you get to the gate, you are to think about the goodness of the Lord. Think about what the Lord has done for you. Think about what the Lord has kept from you. Think about the goodness of the Lord. In this text, he shares with us reasons why we can thank the Lord. Regardless of your circumstances, regardless of your situation, you can thank him because he made us. That's what he says in verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, that it is he that has made us. It is the Lord that has shaped us. It is the Lord that has formed us. It is the Lord that has made us unique. No matter, twins can be born on the same day to the same parents, and yet those twins will come out unique. Why? Because it is God who has made us. And I know sometimes our strengths can be looked like weaknesses, and our weaknesses can turn out to be strength. You can be out today and in tomorrow, or in tomorrow and out today. It doesn't matter. It is he that has made us. And so we always have a reason to thank God. We always have a reason to thank God, because not only did he make us, he did not set us out there on our own. The scripture teaches us that we are his people, and we are the sheep of his pasture. He didn't just bring us and leave us. He takes care of us. He provides for us. And many of us, because we live in America, because we have an abundance of so much, that we take for granted all of the blessings that God has for us. Or we take for granted to have food on the table. We take for granted to have a roof over our head. We take for granted to have choices in our clothes. We take for granted that we're going to have someone to love us and someone that we can love. But we are blessed by God because we are his people. He provides for us. He takes care of us. We can rest in the fact that we are not in this world by ourselves. We have a loving, caring God who takes care of us even in the midst of heartache and pain. Not only can we, when we think about that he made us, can we think about that he has kept us, but we ought to think about that the Lord is good. That's what the scripture said. The Lord is good. He's good in his character. You know, that was the temptation. We talked about the first of the month, that the temptation was about the goodness of God. And brothers and sisters, you got to trust in the goodness of God. The Lord is good. And see, when we think about the goodness of God and all that he's done for us, where he brought us from, where he's carrying us to, we ought to be able to thank and start thanking. We ought to be able to think our way into thanking God. Not only is the Lord good, we ought to think about this. His mercy is everlasting. That means no matter what you do, God got enough mercy to save you. That God has enough rope to rescue you. That God got enough strength to come and see about you. You know, some people got this image of God is out to get you. God is not the one that's out to get you. God is not the one that's trying to punish you. God is not sitting in bushes waiting on you to do evil or wrong so he can jump out and snap. If God wanted to do that, he can go get you at the house. He can go get you in the car. He don't have to spy on. He knows exactly where you are. But it's by his mercy he let time run on. If it were by God's justice, I should have been dead a long time ago. But by his mercy, he allowed time to run on in my life. I done more wrong to God than God has ever done to me. But by his mercy, he didn't cut me down. He didn't shut me out. He didn't leave me out. He reached out even in my sin. He died for my sins. Yes, brothers and sisters, we have reasons even now to thank God. No matter how bad it looks, no matter how hard the road get, if we think, we should be able to thank. Before we get here, we ought to already have an attitude of gratitude. Oh, somewhere between the car and the door, you ought to think about the goodness of God. Oh, I know you want to complain. I know you want to fuss. I know you see things that ain't right, but it ain't God. God is perfect. God is good. God is loving. God is kind. Somewhere between your house and this house, you ought to think about the goodness of the Lord. Before you enter, you must do some thanks thinking. And then once you get here and the choir starts singing and prayer starts going, surely you ought to thank the Lord. But after you leave, amen. Don't want you leave here grumpy. Don't want you leave here upset. Don't leave up here mad. That's why we try to get you out in time to catch the brunch. You can beat the folk at Luby's. Don't leave mad. Don't come happy and leave upset. But when you exit, you ought to exit with thanks living. You ought to leave here with thanks on your heart. You ought to leave here with thanks on your mind. The scripture teaches us to give thanks to him and praise his name. When we enter this place, we enter this place with thanksgiving. And when we leave this place, we ought to exhibit thanksgiving. Simply, we ought to be more appreciative, more thankful. You know, I find myself now at drive-thrus. I guess nobody's saying thank you no more because they always give me a strange look when I say thank you. They always look at me like that's not necessary, or people that go to drive-thrus don't say thank you, sir. You might be in the wrong line or something. But we live in a world where we don't say thank you enough. We don't say thank you to each other enough. We don't express it enough. Reverend LaRue, Dr. LaRue, at a friend's funeral, he said there were 11 words that people want to hear. I miss you, I love you, I forgive you, and thank you. 11 words, thank you. Just stop some, you know, thank your mama, thank your daddy, thank your grandparent, thank your uncle, thank whoever gave you a ride, thank them. Somebody give you a call, thank you. Somebody text you, thank them. We have to live with thankfulness in our hearts. When we leave this place, we ought to have our eyes on Jesus and be able to see his signature in our lives. If there's trouble that's coming in your life, I want you to know that the Lord signed off on it. If you got permit, the devil have to get permission from the Lord to come after you. And every time he do, I look at his pocket and I see my Heavenly Father's signature on his permission slip. And if the Lord is allowing it, then I'll go through it, trusting and believing that he will cover me. If God sent me to it, God will send me through it. He will care for me. He will hold me in the arms of his care. We have to have life filled with gratitude. Thankful for the little things. When I was young, my grandpa would pray at Thanksgiving. And, you know, I was a kid, was hungry, been playing all day, and they done called us in. It's time to eat. We done washed up and plates ready. And then Pawpaw started praying. It's like, come on, Pawpaw. And Pawpaw, I remember I was a little kid, and Pawpaw would be praying for the seeing in his eyes. The hearing in his ears, the smell in his nose. I'm like, come on, Pop. This sounds like a bedtime prayer you doing. Thank you for the feeling in my hand. Thank you for, I'm like, come on, Jesus. But this ain't my first Texas summer. I've been around now. Now my eyes are getting dim and find myself saying, huh. repeat that again and got to read a couple of times and to get, make sure I get it. Now I find myself by my bedside saying, Lord, I want to thank you for the seeing in my eyes. Thank you for the hearing in my ears. Thank you for the smell in my nose. Thank you for the feeling in my hand. Lord, I just want to say thank you. You know, when we have an attitude of gratitude, you can always find something to be thankful for. It's just as easy. You can find something to be upset about. You can find something to be grateful for. You know, some people can go in Walmart and find the one thing Walmart don't carry. You know, people like that be standing in line behind them asking them, you know, looking for something. Like, man, yeah, Walmart. If you want it here, fair, you're going to have to go to HEB. That's not, they don't sell that here at Walmart. But then there's some people that can go through this life and not see a flower, not hear a bird, not see a cloud, not see the sunshine, not see the sunrise, not see the sunset. All they see is trouble, 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 trouble. Maybe you ought to put a phone down for a minute and listen to the birds. Put the phone down. Look at the flowers. Look what the Lord is doing around us. You know. When I drove up today, I was happy to see the best player in HBCU. I saw him riding up on a scooter. I said, that's how a bass player ought to ride up on the church. He ought to ride up on a scooter with his bass on his back. I said, man, you ought to take a picture of that. That's how you're supposed to get here. Amen, amen. Some of us, if we ain't got a Cadillac, we ain't coming to church. We ain't got a Lexus, we ain't coming to church. Just get here. Get online. We gotta be thankful for what the Lord is doing. Thankful for the opportunity. Thankful for what he's doing in our lives. In the gospel of Jesus, there's a story about 10 lepers. Now, leprosy brought them together. I don't know where their education, I don't know where they grew up at, I don't know their parents, I don't know any of their background. All I know is that all 10 of them had leprosy. And all 10 of them was together. They leprosy, they problem. And you know, misery loves company. Amen. That's why I got rid of all my friends that like my misery. I don't like, you enjoying my misery way too much. Always telling me some bad advice. But these 10 bound by leprosy saw Jesus coming by. Now you know they had tried every ointment. They have drank every tea. They done seen every skin doctor, every dermatologist in the land. They had crushed stuff and put it on their skin and none of it worked. But one day when Jesus was going by, one of the 10 said, let's try Jesus. And maybe that's a word for somebody here today. You tried everything else. How about trying Jesus? You done tried education. That ain't bringing no happiness. Try Jesus. You got a pocket full of money. You're still not happy. Try Jesus. You're healthy and strong. Try Jesus. We live in a time where there's going to be heartache. There's going to be pain. But yet in the midst, we can have Jesus. Somewhere along the line, somebody said, let's try Jesus. You know, and Jesus said to him, ew. It's interesting when you watch it in the scripture, everybody else, Jesus just kind of approached him and deal with him. But when these 10 lepers walked up on Jesus, I don't know. When I get to heaven, I'm going to have to see exactly how it turns out. But when I look in my mind's eye and see these 10 lepers walking up on Jesus, all I can see Jesus going, ew. And then he go, I mean, you're going to read it for yourself. You're going to read it for yourself. Maybe I'm exaggerating. But then he says, go show the priest that you've been clean. Go show him that you've been clean. He doesn't touch him. He doesn't put nothing on him. He don't deal with him. He just say, go on. He says, go. And they go. They go. And you know, one of them got healed before the others. And that encouraged the other 9. Then 2 got healed. And then everybody was excited, start walking faster, pick up their pace, and five got healed, six got healed, seven, eight, nine got healed. Now, if you that last one, you're starting to think about your life, ain't you? You're starting to think about, maybe it's more to this leprosy than I thought. Maybe this is something that I ain't got to go through with. But yet, it says, when the tenth one received this healing, rather than to continue to go forward, he said, I got to go back and tell Jesus, thank you. It almost seems like disobedience in a sense, because Jesus said, do one thing. And he said, before I do what you told me to do, I'm going to go back and tell you thank you. And some of us today need to go back and tell the Lord, thank you. Oh, if I can't thank God for what he done today, I thank God what he did yesterday. If I can't thank God for what he done for me yesterday, I thank God for what he did when I was 20s, when I was running so fast and didn't take time to thank him then. I can thank him now. Lord, you kept me when I was foolish. You kept me when I thought I had the world by the tail. Lord, you watched over me when I was doing ignorant and dumb things. Lord, thank you. You know, one of the blessings of having a photo book, rather than having all your photos in your phone, is you can flip through it. You can look over the past. Look where the Lord has brought you. Every now and then I look at pictures with myself and my daughters when they were small, and I only can throw up my hand and say, Lord, I don't know how we made it. I was just trusting and believing in you. Lord, you made a way out of nowhere. I can thank you right now. I don't have to get upset that everything ain't perfect. I don't have to get upset. I know where the Lord has brought me from. Oh, yeah, we can have some thanks living. And so, brothers and sisters, as this passage declares unto us, as it exhorts us, that we have to think about our thanks. We have to show and think about what the Lord has done for us. And so just to give you a little homework today. So on your way out, as you get ready to think about next week, I want you to think about this. Think about the fact that he woke you up this morning. You ought to thank him. He started you on your way. You ought to thank him. He clothed you in your right mind. You ought to thank him. He gave you a portion of health and strength. You ought to thank him. He put food on your table. You ought to thank him. He put clothes on your back. Thank you. He got somebody to smile at you. Thank him. And you can smile at somebody. Thank you. And more important, I thank him that he died for our sins. And on the third day, he rose again. So no matter what you go through, I can thank God for his so many blessings. Thanksgiving in April. May God bless you and may God keep you today. As the deacons and the ushers come, greeters, we invite you. Try Jesus. It's gonna still be raining, but he'll be your umbrella. He'll be your refuge. He'll be your hiding place. Try Jesus. Will you come? And if you are watching online, we invite you to put a word in the comments. Come on. Gracious Father, we thank you for reminding us in this month, this season, this week, this month. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for reminding us that we have enough to be thankful for. We have problems, we have situations, circumstances, things we have to work through, doctor's appointments, prescriptions, but we still have a reason to thank you. And when I thank you, Heavenly Father, my heart is not as heavy. My head is not hung down. I can see your handiwork. And so we pray right now, dear Heavenly Father, that you'll bless our hearts, bless our eyes, bless us, dear Heavenly Father, that we may see your goodness in all that we do. Bless us now, in Jesus' name, amen. 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 It was ours to extend. It was yours to accept. May God bless you.